Expose. This is Chris Gerner speaking to you on the 4th of May, 2005. The situations continue to confuse many, and so many people think everything's by chance, not by design. We live amongst the Hegelian dialectic listeners, and that is the picture and the problem that we live. Do I have Lindsay Williams with me? Apparently not. I called and left a message for him to come on, and evidently he declined to come on, did not contact me one way or the other. So apparently that's the end of that with Lindsay Williams. I'm so sorry that that's the case. I was looking forward to hearing him, and I don't know what to say. We had three nights with him last week. I hope that got some exposure to the listeners. I hope the listening audience is growing. That's what I pray for. Discernment and knowledge of many. This afternoon I was on WWCR for 2 hours from 6 to 8 p.m. Central on 5.070 on the first hour and 7.465 on the second hour. Next Wednesday it will be the same way. Let listeners know about this. Let them know that I'm back over there. Thanks to Melody Cedarstrom and Discount Gold and Silver Trading. And certainly we're just trying to do our best to document where we go. And I really got into the IMF today. I got into the perspective of, well, Frosty Wooldridge patting Terry Anderson on the back for him ranting and raving about illegal immigration. Terry Anderson is a black man in Southern California who's grown into a talk radio show host similar to my situation and experience as well. But they're not connecting the right dots to immigration. See, we've been embroiled in a UN system since 1942. January 1st, 1942. We've had world government crammed down our throats whether we like it or not. The implementation of all this, they're not waiting for our approval. They've just done it. And they did it to our parents and grandparents, not us. We just inherited it. But this is why we have 54,000 that lost their lives in Korea, plus 8,000 POWs never to return that were shipped off to Communist China and the Soviet Union. This is why we had 58,000 dying the Vietnam War. And 85% of 5,000 POWs never returned from Vietnam, waiting for the reparations that were promised by Henry Kissinger and Richard Nixon. I covered that on the shortwave broadcast. An examination of U.S. policy towards POWs, MIAs. What I'm trying to say is the history of the past stays constant. It never changes as I do this. It stays the same because it's documentation that brings us to where we are. And that was the point this afternoon with the IMF. The IMF uses gold as their resource. And from Title 22, Chapter 7, Section 286, acceptance of membership by the United States in the International Monetary Fund, the President is hereby authorized to accept membership for the United States in the International Monetary Fund, hereafter referred to as the Fund, and the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, hereafter referred to as the Bank. Keep in mind that bank, the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, is now the World Bank. And this continues, provided for by the Articles of Agreement of the Fund and the Articles of Agreement of the Bank, as set forth in the final act of the United Nations Monetary and Financial Conference, dated July 22, 1944, and deposited into the archives of the Department of State. So this is the point of that. There are stipulations, congressional authorization needed for certain actions. Well, why does that happen? Because we are the UN system. You see? Congressional authorization needed for certain actions. This is Title II, Chapter 7, Subchapter 286C. Congressional authorization needed for certain actions. Unless Congress by law authorizes such action, neither the President nor any person or agency shall, on behalf of the United States, A, request or consent to any change in the quota of the United States under Article 3, Section 2A of the Articles of Agreement of the Fund, that's the IMF, B, propose a par value for the United States dollar under Paragraph 2, Paragraph 4, or Paragraph 10 of Schedule C of the Articles of Agreement of the Fund, and obviously you don't know what that means because you don't do the research to find out what it's all about. Most don't. C, propose any change in the par value of the United States dollar under Paragraph 6 of Schedule C of Articles of Agreement of the Fund, or approve any general change in par values under Paragraph 11 of Schedule C. And I'll admit, I haven't researched this myself, so I'm not castigating you. I'm just stating that that's just the way we are. I'm just as guilty as you are in this circumstance. They go to D, subscribe to additional shares of stock under Article 2, Section 3 of the Articles of Agreement of the Bank. That's the World Bank now. E, accept any amendment under Article, that would be 28 of the Articles of Agreement of the Fund, and Article 28 of the Articles, or 23 of the Articles of Agreement of the Bank. F, make any loan to the fund or the bank, or G, and this is the point, approve any disposition of fund gold, unless the Secretary certifies to the Congress that such disposition is necessary for the fund to restitute gold to its members, or for the fund to provide liquidity that will enable the fund to meet member country claims on the fund, or to meet threats to the systemic stability of the international financial system. Unless Congress by law authorizes such action, no governor or alternate appointed to represent the United States shall vote for an increase of capital stock of the bank under Article 2, Section 2 of the Articles of Agreement of the Bank, if such increase involves an increased subscription on the part of the United States. Neither the President nor any person or agency shall, on behalf of the United States, consent to any borrowing other than borrowing from a foreign government or other official public source, by the fund or funds denominated in United States dollars, unless the Secretary of the Treasury transmits a notice of such proposed borrowing to both houses of the Congress at least 60 days prior to the date on which such borrowing is scheduled to occur. What a mouthful that is. The reason I covered this was congressional authorization needed for certain actions regarding the International Monetary Fund. Amazing. So now I move to Title 22, Chapter 7, Subchapter, that would be 15, 286A, and it's under appointments. And they have governors and executive directors, term of office, alternates, term of office. The governor is John Snow, Secretary of the Treasury, who is the governor of the IMF, the U.S. governor of the IMF. Every country that's a member of the IMF has a governor, as Darren has documented that. Point being that the John Snow is the governor, and then they have the alternates in term of office. Alan Greenspan is the alternate from the Federal Reserve System. And they say governor to serve as chancellor, alternates, and associates should the provisions of Schedule D of the Articles of Agreement of the Fund apply. The governor of the fund shall also serve as chancellor, shall designate an alternate for the chancellor, and may designate associates. And then we get to D, compensation for services. No person shall be entitled to receive any salary or other compensation from the United States for services as a governor, executive director, counselor, alternate, or associate. So there it is. What is the Secretary of the Treasury? A foreign agent for the UN system. No person shall be entitled to receive any salary or compensation from the United States for services as a governor, executive director, counselor, alternate, or associate. So what am I saying? We are embroiled in a one-world dictatorship now. And that is the point about all this. The more people wake up, the more people understand and document what's going on, the less the wool will be pulled over our eyes in the future. The less we will be deceived in the future to accept another Oklahoma City bombing, another World Trade Center bombing, another September 11, 2001. And this is why I covered this information on the shortwave broadcast by Mike Godbow, Oklahoma Bombing 9/11 Connections, as told to J.B. Campbell. And I'll just give you a few paragraphs of this, because this kind of connects dots to what's going to happen in the future, the very near future, unfortunately. My name is Mike Godbow. I am a U.S. Navy veteran, and apparently I've been groomed as some sort of sleeper for a number of years. For what purpose, I do not know. I am on the run now, being cared for by a dedicated medical doctor who is trying to prevent me from becoming the next Tim McVeigh. She stole me from my handlers and is deprogramming me. She feels as if she's disarming a time bomb. One of my problems is that I was a friend of Tim McVeigh until a couple of days ago. I've been living in his house near Kingman, Arizona, ever since he left for Oklahoma City in April of 1995. I met certain people whom I wasn't supposed to meet, people who were influencing Tim McVeigh, and who the federal government says had nothing to do with the bombing, but they did. Before last January, I never thought much about my medical problems or about the people I'd seen with Tim McVeigh. Then three people showed up at my door, and I reluctantly let them in. One of the people had visited me a couple of months earlier. He brought the other two because he figured I wouldn't have let him in. He's welcome to identify himself after reading this, but I won't do it. He's a researcher and a writer on the subject of the Oklahoma City bombing and is pretty knowledgeable. The two people he brought with him were J.B. Campbell and Dr. Robbie Borgeson. Campbell, who I call Bruce, is the guy who started the militia movement in the late 1980s with his book, The New American Man. He kept a low profile for the past 5 years, but suddenly resurfaced with a plan to connect the World Trade Center 1993 bombing, the Oklahoma City bombing, and the attack of September 11th as actions of the U.S. government designed to end our way of life. And that's where I leave it. That's my point. This situation is being engineered. Agenda 21 is 13 years into enforcement. And that has to do with controlling mankind. So shortages will be created. The militia movement will be vilified. The people will be disarmed because the food will be controlled. And less food will be available. Quality of food will decline. A lot of food will be sent to third world countries that are being eliminated anyway. But a sinister aspect of this is very, very shaky. There are people losing their properties. I'll be in touch with someone about this, where someone's losing their property after being on it for 60-some years for some kind of bird that is an endangered species. And once again, we have to connect to the Hegelian dialectic. Why in the world would we be losing animals and small animals like insects and things like this and birds? Well, what has the aerial spraying been doing, or the aerosol operations for so long? What have they been doing to the small animal life? And this is the point. Do they really care about the environment, those in charge? And weather modification, keeping it from raining, environmental modification, earthquakes. Was an earthquake what set off this tsunami at the end of last year to put Bill Clinton in control of the tsunami relief effort, who's being groomed to be the next Secretary General of the United Nations system? And that will happen in 1996 sometime. I absolutely believe that's the case. That Darren documented the fact that there was a tsunami bomb invented in 1944. So what are we living with today? A Hegelian lifestyle that we now have no clue about, where the setup scenario happens, and yet the stupid American people don't understand that they lived the 20th century, which was a Hegelian dialectic, the creation of World War I, the sinking of the Lusitania to bring us into World War I. At the conclusion of World War I was the League of Nations that we were supposed to get into, the League of Nations, which continued on. The League of Nations continued on, even though we didn't join. That was in 1919. We didn't join the League of Nations in 1919. Henceforth, what was created? The Council on Foreign Relations, officially formed in 1921. Who was one of the founding members of the Council on Foreign Relations? John W. Davis, a lawyer, attorney, who was the grandfather of Nancy Davis, who was the wife of Ronald Reagan. Amazing. So, 1921, the Council of Foreign Relations created to bring us into a one-world government. What happened in the 1920s? Well, the prohibition on alcohol and all that was quite crazy, but the stock market crash of 1929 was disastrous, and according to many sources, a created scenario. Henceforth, we lost our gold standard in 1933. Adolf Hitler was built up. Bush and company was part of the build-up of Adolf Hitler with the shipping line Hamburg, America. Germany and Japan signed a pact in 1936 to fight international communism, or the international Comintern. The point being that we were being set up on all of this to fall into the communist system. Communism created by the Federal Reserve Wall Street bankers. And then you had Pearl Harbor. You had January 1st, 1942, the creation of the United Nations. And that's January 1st, 1942. This comes from the Avalon Project at Yale Law School. Excellent research. Declaration by the United Nations, January 1st, 1942. Then we have November 7th, 1942. And that is a message from President Franklin Delano Roosevelt to Mikhail Kalinin, President Presidium of the Supreme Soviet of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics. What does Franklin Delano Roosevelt say? On the occasion of this 25th anniversary of the establishment of the Soviet state, I convey to Your Excellency the congratulations of the government and the people of the United States. For the second time in a generation, our two countries are in the forefront of a gathering of nations aligned against a common enemy. Who is the common enemy? Hitler, Japan, Italy. Goes on to state, collaboration in the mighty military task before us must be the prelude to collaboration in the mightier task of creating a world at peace. The mightier task of creating a world at peace. Amazing. The resistance of free peoples has made possible the mounting powers of the United Nations. The Russian army and the Russian people, in their continuing struggle against Nazi conquest today, bear the brunt of the massed weight of the Nazi might, and their incomparable heroism stands as a symbol of determination and an unrelenting effort. Yet, Your Excellency, rest assured that the steadily growing power of the United States has been and will continue to be dedicated to complete victory. What are they talking about? Victory. Victory for what? Victory for what purpose? Not to restore a constitutional republic, no, but to build a gigantic world democracy. And democracy is amazing. We're living a democracy, but yet we're supposed to be a constitutional republic. How can that be, listeners? How can we be so embroiled in a democracy when we're supposed to be a constitutional republic, and they keep that in place to deceive us, just like these wars and the Medal of Honor being the upside-down five-pointed star, Lucifer's symbol. So we have a republic, which is God's law, people bound by God's law, state government bound by constitutional law, national government bound by constitutional law. In a democracy, what do we have? Bureaucracy bound by goals and objectives of the Federal Reserve System. Executive branch of the government subservient to bureaucracy for international policy. What is that? The United Nations and the IMF. Legislative branches of government subservient to bureaucracy for appearance of representative government. That's the deception. That's right. Legislative branches of government subservient to bureaucracy for appearance of representative government. And the judicial branch of government subservient to bureaucracy for enforcement of rules and regulations. And that's where the U.S. Code comes into place. The democracy is probably the most vile form of government in existence today, as it functions 100% on fraud and deceit. A democracy holds itself out to be a benevolent provider of wealth, when in fact it robs everyone of vast amounts of wealth to perpetuate its unconstitutional activity. It is a society of debt accumulation, and necessarily so, as the government politicians will respond swiftly to special interest demands for handouts from the Treasury, which is subservient to the International Monetary Fund. A democracy is nothing more than a transfer agent of wealth. The democracy collects 100% of the taxes they claim they are collecting for the poor and needy. They then retain 70% to cover their costs of making the transfer and send 30% to the poor and needy to justify the taxation in the first place. It stands to reason that if we took care of ourselves, we would have 100% instead of 30% of the tax revenues to take care of the poor and needy. Now, which will do a better job? Many people think that the legitimate functions of government are paid out of income tax. Nothing can be further from the truth. The government collects over 60% of its taxes from excise taxes and are legitimate government expenditures, such as national defense. A legitimate, honest constitutional government would not need half of the excise taxes they collect. The Constitution prohibits standing armies in times of peace. To get around this restriction, the government uses Executive Order 11490 to declare an ongoing national emergency, which we've covered over and over again. And you must remember, to be a tax protester is as American as apple pie. Our founding fathers were the greatest tax protesters of all time. A democracy is a very irresponsible society. It relies on insurance companies to pay for accident and death losses. It relies on government entitlements to cover expenses that one does not or is not able to pay. A democracy controls just about every segment of a person's life, whereby all property is owned by the commune in common, and all usages of the property are regulated by commune members. A democracy operates by force. If you do not perform as you are told by certain government employees, they have the power to threaten, intimidate, and harass you and seize your property from you that you thought was yours. They may also file criminal charges against you for noncompliance with one government's regulations. The use of fear, threats, and intimidation by the government are absolutely necessary. After all, who in their right mind would voluntarily pay so much for so little benefits from government? And obviously, this is something from Lindsey Williams, Syndrome of Control, which we covered with him last week. My point is that here we are. We've had the 20th century of deception, and people still don't realize how much of a deception it's been. And I brought us up to the Second World War, where it's the United Nations system. We're in a democracy. And at the conclusion of the Second World War, the United Nations is exposed to the population of the world by the two atomic bomb droppings on Hiroshima and Nagasaki to bring about the fact that we have to have a world governmental system. In other words, we don't want atomic bombs to happen again. And yet, what are we working with today in 2005, all these years later, 60 years later? Weapons of mass destruction. That's our excuse for going into Iraq. Weapons of mass destruction. In other words, atomic bombs, hydrogen bombs, neutron bombs, nuclear bombs. Everyone should be armed to the teeth. Every country should be armed to the teeth so we wouldn't invade them. We, this country, this government, are the evil ones in charge at the top. The people of every country, the people in this country, the people of every other country are innocent. We are innocent. All we want to do is have pride in what we do, raise our families, and be left alone. But they don't leave us alone. If you don't pay your property tax, what happens? You lose your home. Every piece of equity you had in your home, you lose. You sign up to be an IRS person. In other words, by signing the 1040 form, you sign up to pay taxes on what you earn. That's why Dick Sincannon was put in incarceration, because he wasn't going to take withholding taxes from the employees that he had. So they used him as an example. Just like we've talked about Congressman George Hansen, same thing, used him as an example. Those people up in Capitol Hill are petrified. Why am I not petrified? Well, because I've lived and died many times, or should have died many times. I've been saved to do this, I'm sure, because there's no other logic why I'm still here, listeners. And I'll talk about that when I come back, just because it's the same story over and over again, which means it must have happened to me. We'll be back to continue what I call American Exposé. Go to StopAgenda21.com, and you will link to our Agenda 21 site.
Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
Hey, Bob, would you sign this form?
Sure. What's it for?
Oh, it's just a form saying you won't hold me responsible for anything I've done wrong.
What? I'm not signing that. Why are you doing this?
Well, when I die, God is going to judge me and all the things I've done wrong. But I'm going to show him this form saying that nobody else holds me responsible, so he'll just have to let me into heaven.
Uh-huh. What about my car?
What about your car?
You smashed the fender.
Right. That's why you're on the list.
Wouldn't it be better if you paid for the damage?
No, it would be better if you signed the form.
This isn't going to work.
Why not?
Well, do you have Jesus' name on your list?
Why do I need his name?
When you wrong others, you wrong God by breaking his law. In order to be right with God and be allowed into heaven, you need his forgiveness.
Bummer. I was kind of hoping I wouldn't have to admit I've done anything wrong.
Yeah. Pride is always the first thing you have to lose when you ask for forgiveness.
A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-523-8669. LifelinePro.com.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus, we'll send you a password for our audio archives online. That's a $15 value. Or you may request any month of any program on one MP3 CD for a minimum donation of only $25. Or any single program on tape, MP3 CD, or CD for only $15. You may do all of this online at FirstAmendmentRadio.com. Just follow the instructions to make a donation or subscribe. You may also adopt an hour of your favorite program. Please don't forget that most of the programs on FirstAmendmentRadio.com are listener-supported. Don't do Internet? Then call 559-781-3773 and we'll be honored to help you. Thank you from all of us here at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Messed up not to like that little segment there. That sounds so nice. Let's try and do that again. I've done a lot of broadcasting, a lot more than I'm used to at this point in time, but shouldn't I be afraid to do this? I think about this, and I think about what I've done in the past, and I'm going to tell you something that I did in the past. It was quite remarkable that I'm still here, which tells me that I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. That's the point. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing right now, educating you about the big picture in place. That is the point. So what happened? Okay, I did motorcycles in the desert. California had a great desert, Mojave Desert. It's closed mostly now. It's mostly closed now. It was mostly closed when I was doing it back in the early 70s. And certainly I enjoyed that, and I didn't have a whole lot of funds to spend on it, so I couldn't do it to the degree that I wanted to do it. Baja was very expensive to pre-run and race, and I did, six or eight of them. In Baja and Parker, Arizona, the score races. But in 1975, was my second Baja 500. The partner that I had, he was rather slow when it came to racing. He was a pretty good play rider, pretty fast. But, he had the first half of the race. He brought the bike in 2.5 hours behind the leader. So the race was over for us, but I still went as fast as I could to make up time. I was coming out of a town called Valley de Trinidad in Baja, California. I'm sure it hasn't changed at all after all these years. This is back in 1975, which is the 30th anniversary of what happened to me, coming up in June, just like the 30th anniversary of the fall of Vietnam. Coming out of Valley de Trinidad, there's a paved road, and then it goes off to the left and then to the right down into a fire road, which is the main road that a lot of the locals traveled. All the roads in Baja were local roads traveled by local people. We took advantage of that by racing on their roads. But it brought a lot of revenue to the government of Mexico, so they continue to do it to this very, very day. So I make this left turn to go right down this fire road, and the brake rod breaks on the back of the motorcycle. The rear brake rod breaks, so I have no rear brake. So what happens? I flew off of this cliff. It was a 40-foot drop. I guarantee you it was a big drop. I just flew off it, holding it. No big damn deal. I'm just flying through the air, and I don't know what's going to happen to me when I land. And what did I do? I landed in deep sand, surrounded by big round boulders around me. And had I hit one of these boulders, well, it would have been over. And it was just absolutely remarkable. So I went and progressed on with the race after just shocking myself and thinking, my gosh, how did I live through this? I had many occasions like that happen to me. Sometimes I was pretty well injured. In 77, pre-running for the Baja 500, 2 years later, I hit a truck head-on, going slow, but still, I was in University Hospital, and I was out for a few days, and it was quite an experience, and it didn't stop me. I broke my back in 1979 in a desert race in the Mojave Desert. Didn't stop me. For some reason, I continued. You see on some of these programs how people just keep taking chances and taking chances, like Evel Knievel and his son Robbie Knievel jumping cars. They continue to do it. And you sit here and think to yourself, well, how insane is that? Why would somebody be so insane to do that? Well, I was one of those insane people. It was a passion. Motorcycles for me, off-road racing for me was a passion. And I just loved it, the experience and the adventure. In Baja, California, being such a last wilderness. Finally, in June of 1981, I finally quit. It was the last race, Baja 500, that I ever did. Last time I was on a motorcycle, just about. Henceforth, my point of all this is the fact that I should have died many times in the past. Am I afraid of the future? Not hardly. I'm just stating the truth. I'm trying to talk to those in government positions of what they're a part of, those in the EPA, the Fish and Wildlife Service, the Sheriff's Department, the MJTF forces that are here today to take us down when the time comes, to take us to the concentration camps when the time comes, the closed military bases on BRAC, base realignment and closure. Many of those military bases, I'm certain, can't prove it, are set up as concentration camps for us. Us that are awake and aware and are in the way of the New World Order system and the UN system. And that's just where we are today. That's what we're involved in. And here I see base closings carry political risks. The upcoming round of military base closings must be untarnished by political influence, according to Senator Elizabeth Dole. And North Carolina, quote, supports a unique military infrastructure, end quote, primed for expansion, not closure. Dole told the head of the commission that will review Pentagon proposals for which bases to shut down, listeners. And this is information by Dennis. And it's on the website. Base closures have enormous political ramifications. No matter the political party, House and Senate members have a lot to lose if hometown bases shut down and voters blame the lawmakers for disappearing jobs. Well, here it is, listeners. The transition. The slow transition that's been going on for decades. State Department Publication 7277 from 1961, the complete and general disarmament of this country, of the people in this country. We are to be disarmed. They haven't figured out how to do it because there's so many people wide awake. This is why I covered at the top of this broadcast this information by Mike Godbow, who is a U.S. Navy veteran, apparently being set up as a sleeper agent just like Tim McVeigh to bring about the created crisis, to bring about control further of what we can and cannot do, the passports, and dealing with those that are wide awake and politically incorrect to the U.N. system that Hillary Clinton is so fond of, and that William Jefferson Clinton is being groomed to be the Secretary General in 1996. I'm certain that is the case. How can anybody have 8 years of a Democratic presidency with all the corruption there and be impeached and not be a Rockefeller? So here we are in the middle of this, in the middle of this mess. And then you have Popular Mechanics, the latest edition of Popular Mechanics, which would be the June edition, I'm sure. They're always a month ahead. June 2005. Seeing through walls. And certainly we knew about this 6 or 8 years ago. We talked about this before. New technology makes it possible to look inside an enemy hideout before busting down the door. Who is the enemy, listeners? In military siege and civilian SWAT team operations, what you don't know can kill you. So a discreet look inside an enemy-held building can be extremely valuable. These days, soldiers and law enforcement are discovering that the X-ray vision fantasy of comic books is a technological reality. Through the wall, that's TTW, through the wall. TTW, radar-based surveillance technology, has been aggressively researched by military and university labs since the mid-1990s. And certainly that's why I was alluding to. We've covered it before. And now new technologies are making their way into the market. 2 years ago, the first commercially available portable TTW product was launched by Time Domain, a small Huntsville, Alabama company working with funding from the Air Force Research Lab, the AFRL, and a more advanced system is in development in a joint project between Raytheon and the National Institute of Justice. Time Domain offers two handheld TTW radar systems. Through the wall, people, through the wall. One is called Soldier Vision A1, while the other is a slightly less powerful version for police called Radar Vision 2. This technology doesn't come cheap. Each Soldier Vision A1 unit costs, $29,500. And Radar Vision cost $32,000. Well, gee, that's only the price of a car or a truck, an SUV. Well, naturally, the price will go down someday if they allow it to be given to us, but certainly we won't be allowed to have this. It'll be classified for certain purposes. But they're going to be dealing with us in America that are constitutionalists, that believe in the First Amendment, Second Amendment, the Bill of Rights, that believe the UN system is evil and bad, that understand that our soldiers were sacrificed in the 20th century and the war between the states, given Congressional Medal of Honors that were upside down five-pointed stars, Lucifer's symbol, Satan's symbol is the Congressional Medal of Honor, and I'll keep harping on that all day long, and I hate to use that word harp, and you know why. But I'll be stating that from here until eternity, because that's the biggest in-your-face indicator of what we're a part of today. A one-world governmental system engineered by Wall Street financiers and control of the banking establishments, 12 families. Some say, and it's not documented that I can see, but once again, banking families, the London Rothschilds own 52%. That's 52% of the Federal Reserve. Europe Warburgs own 8%. Ferries owns 8%. And Moses Israel Seth owns 8%, representing 24%. Back in this country, the United States, which is a federal corporation, listeners, Goldman Sachs owns 6%, Lehman Brothers owns 6%, Rockefellers own 6%, and Kuhn Loebs own 6%, representing 24%. 24%, 24%, 52%, and what do you get? So here you have this technology seeing through walls. Why are they doing this? To deal with anybody that objects to the UN totalitarian democracy system being engineered at us and on us. That's the point and the problem. I've got information that people are losing their lands for endangered species. Here I see wildlife study warns of county development, listeners. Right out of the Oklahoman, dated May 2nd, 2005. The black-capped vireo is a petite songbird with a trademark black head. It is partial to the caterpillars found in a small thicket of trees near Lake Stanley Draper. It also is a federally protected endangered species and in the way of potential development. The bird, two minnow species, and a parasitic plant are endangered by urban sprawl in the Oklahoma City area, according to a national study. Doesn't this reek of Agenda 21, you intelligent listeners out there? Right here in our newspaper? The study sponsored by the National Wildlife Federation, Smart Growth America, and NatureServe listed imperiled species in the 35 fast-growing metropolitan areas in the United States, including Oklahoma City, the land of ignorance and stupidity, Oklahoma City. And I'm talking about those that are not awake, those that should be wide awake, those that are stupid enough not to pay attention in Oklahoma City. This is going to come to your neighborhood, wherever you are, in whatever part of this country you are, because the plan is to rewild America. The plan is to turn this country back to pre-Columbus days. We'll have sustainable communities, and it'll be the animals out of the cages looking in at us in the cages. Now, most people think that's ludicrous. But if they have half a brain, they go to my website, they see the documentation on the website, and they hopefully they start thinking. They start thinking. Anyway, there's a little bit more of this article, but it's I've discarded the other portion of it because this is enough. This is enough. Wildlife study warns of county development. The black-capped vireo, the Arkansas River shiner, and pepper tube and waterfalls dawdler are endangered here in Oklahoma City. Quote, people need to understand that the natural treasures that have been handed to them, in quotes, said John Kochak, co-author of the study, whose office is in Washington. Yeah. Oklahoma County Trails. Only Harris County, Texas, for the largest amount of open space in the path of development. And maybe I should have saved the rest of that article, but shame on me. And maybe it's still here. But I kind of threw everything away. Anyway, we're losing very quickly our sovereignty. And for all intents and purposes, we've lost our sovereignty. And they're working with technology to see through walls before they come in and break into your place, to take you out and take your firearms away from you. The only trouble is there's so many people with firearms here, the only way they can do it is to control the food. And that's why the farmers have been paid not to plant for so many decades, because we're subservient to other countries for the food. Sanctions can be put on our country to make us disarm, and that will be because we won't receive food, so in order to eat, we will have to turn in our weapons. That sounds far-fetched to some people, not to me, because I'm much more intelligent than you out there that aren't paying attention, because I've been paying attention. So, seeing through walls, new technology makes it possible to look inside an enemy's hideout before busting down the door. Who is the enemy, listeners? I'm trying to say that eventually this next terrorist attack, which they've said will be happening, naturally they will, because they plan it. And who is they? You figure it out, listeners. And I wouldn't be too concerned about who they are, because government agencies, if they wouldn't participate in these planned scenarios, like Oklahoma City, like September 11, 2001, like Waco, the point is, the next terrorist event will be an Aryan nation, a Nazi Aryan nation, or a Nazi Aryan group, will be blamed for the next terrorist attack, and this Nazi Aryan nation will do a nuclear attack somewhere, which will probably be ultimately attributed to the Soviet Union or Russia, KGB, former KGB. The KGB never dismantled itself. They only turned into the FSB, Federal Security Bureau. Former KGB people are here implementing Homeland Security in America because Russia and the United States are allies. Russia and the United States have been allies from the beginning. That's why I read that statement by Franklin Delano Roosevelt on November 1942. And once again, the point is, we've been allies from the very, very start. After the Second World War was over, the Cold War started, we were still allies. Because the manipulation and maneuvering is to destroy countries, create refugees, and engineer one world totalitarian government so people are subservient to the UN world government system for their sustenance and survival. So once again, November 6, 1942, President of the Presidium of the Supreme Soviet of the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, Moscow, USSR, on the occasion of this 25th anniversary of the establishment of the Soviet state, I convey to Your Excellency the congratulations for the government and people of the United States. For the second time in a generation, our two countries are in the forefront of a gathering of nations aligned against a common enemy. Collaboration in the mighty military task before us must be the prelude to collaboration in the mightier task of creating a world at peace, world government. Listeners, that's why there's a police state in place. That's why the implementation of a police state is nothing more than the engineering from the past to bring us to the present. The police state is here to enforce the 40 chapters of Agenda 21 formed 13 years ago. Just created was CSD 13, the Commission for Sustainable Development 13, from the State Department. You can go to the State Department website and learn about what happened at CSD 13. This is the most opportune time to wake people up because it's hitting them in the pocketbook. The high price of gasoline is going to reflect to the high price of food, to the high price of clothing, to the high price of automobile parts, to the high price of playing, to your golf course fees, to your green fees on the golf course, to your shooting fees at the shooting range. Everything's going to become much more expensive. This is the time to wake people up. There is no better time to get them to understand. And what could happen in a couple of weeks? Oh, we could get invaded by aliens from outer space. And certainly we refer back to February 2004 from Popular Mechanics. When UFOs arrive, what will you do? The U.S. government already has a multi-million dollar top secret plan ready to go. And certainly that is a scenario that could happen. We've been seeing movies about it. Armageddon is the only one that comes to my mind. It was just played again, although I didn't watch it. I've never watched it because I think it's ludicrous to do so. But keep in mind, the Air Force nuclear flying saucer, recently declassified information may explain decades of UFO sightings from November 2000, Popular Mechanics listeners. November 2000, this flying saucer can fly, according to this article, 350 miles into space. It could stay there for months on end. It says from 300 miles in space, the LRV would be able to rain nuclear destruction on the Soviet Union, Red China, and nuclear and North Korea, it says. Oh, really? From 300 miles in space, the LVR would be able to rain nuclear destruction on the Soviet Union, Red China, and North Korea. Well, maybe that's by design, huh? That's to keep them in check until they have their own? The official designation for America's nuclear flying saucer was the Lenticular Reentry Vehicle, LRV. And they say was because evidently it's something in the past. The operational mission design is 6 weeks at an orbital altitude of 300 nautical miles. And quite remarkable, the LRV specifications, crew of four, weapons, four nuclear missiles, mission length, 6 weeks, it says. So I was wrong with the months on, but I don't believe I'm wrong with that. I think I read that here, that it could be in there for 6 months or up in space. And the diameter, 40 feet, center, 90 inches, edges, 6 inches, wingspan is 1,548 square feet. Engines, chemical, nuclear. The main engine, hydrologic, nuclear. Capsule is solid fuel. The designer, North American Aviation. What is my point here? We're in the future going to be visited by supposedly ET. But won't ET have come from this Earth? SETI has been trying to communicate with outer space. They haven't received anything. Why would any other planet want to come here anyway? I don't doubt there's other planets just like this or similar to this. Different species of man. For us to think that we're all alone in the universe is ridiculous. But to be concerned about this, to be concerned about the unreachable goal of going to Mars is ludicrous. And that's another step to suck us out of funds. And that's the point about all this. The moon mission, they just had a show on one of these channels, the Learning Channel or National Geographic Channel, about the space mission. John Casey was on it. Ralph Renay was on it. And they tried to debunk all their thoughts and provable directions of the space mission. And they did a pretty credible job of trying to debunk Ralph Renay and John Casey's information. But still, I would say that we really didn't go to the moon in those missions, in those vehicles. Maybe we went to them in another type of vehicle. Maybe we have bases over there on the moon. Who knows at this point in time? But that's the point and the problem. We deal with Oklahoma City tomorrow afternoon and tomorrow evening, actually. And I'll be on WWCR at, it'll be 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time, WWCR. 7.465 or 5070. And back on First Amendment Radio tomorrow night with Chris Emery and Charles Key. Good night. God bless you all.
Stay tuned to FirstAmendmentRadio.com to find out first, and on satellite at Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70.
If you'd like to get a copy of this program, there are a few ways that we can help you. You may subscribe at FirstAmendmentRadio.com for only $45 a month, and you'll receive an MP3 CD weekly of all of our programs. As a bonus,